Let's continue reading verses 14 through 16 of Philippians chapter 2. In these three verses, we are told to do all things without grumbling or disputing, because grumbling and disputing affect our status before God and our testimony before the world. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Once again, some background notes. The church at Philippi was in many ways a model church. It had been founded during Paul's second missionary journey. You can read about that in Acts chapter 16. And since that time, it had stayed doctrinally sound and had supported the Apostle Paul in the work of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul urged the Corinthians there to give to a collection that he was taking up for the needy saints in Jerusalem. As an example of generous and sacrificial giving, Paul used the churches of Macedonia as an example. Philippi was one of those churches. So the church at Philippi was a model church in many ways. But there was a problem of disunity at Philippi. Epaphroditus, one of the members of the church at Philippi, had come to Rome to bring Paul a gift from the church at Philippi. And Epaphroditus had shared the good news and the bad news about the spiritual condition of the church at Philippi. The good news was that the church was growing and giving of themselves. But the bad news was that there was this growing problem of disunity. Although it was not a major doctrinal problem that was causing the disunity, it was serious because the disunity could grow and possibly rip apart the church. Disunity can do that. Already, two factions were forming. We pick this up in chapter 4, verse 2, which says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So it looks like a Euodia party and a Syntyche party were forming. Whatever the problem was, Paul wanted to make sure that this rift did not get any bigger. If little problems of disunity in a church are not eliminated, not dealt with, they can lead to all kinds of hurts and even church splits. It has happened many times. That's why the book of Philippians is a good book to study if your church or fellowship or ministry is experiencing any kind of disunity, even if it's only a little bit. A good dose of Philippians can be very good preventive medicine. Well, so much for background notes for this section. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for these three verses of Philippians chapter 2. Doctrinal point number one. Grumbling and disputing affect the status of a child of God. Grumbling and disputing affect the status of a child of God. Verse 14 and 15, once again, do all things without murmuring or grumbling and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Do you ever murmur or grumble? Do you ever argue or dispute? All those who haven't grumbled or disputed in the last week, raise their hands. We grumble about everything. Weather, traffic, flight delays, etc., etc. Well, wait a minute, you say. Isn't it okay to grumble, to complain, to murmur just a little bit? Look at verse 14 once again. Do all things without murmuring, grumbling, and disputing. You remember Numbers 11, verse 1, when the people complained, the Lord was displeased? What were the children of Israel complaining about back there in Numbers chapter 11? It wasn't some big famine or some enemy that had attacked them. No, it was just the hardships of the way, the travel, the food, the manna, the normal hardships of the day. But God was displeased when they were complaining. Now remember the context of Philippians chapter 2. The Philippians were to work out their salvation. That is, work out the problem causing disunity. And now you see, they were to do it without grumbling or disputing. That's the context. So the arguing or disputing here does not have to do with defending the faith. That's where we are to argue. Argue and defend the faith. That's apologetics. That's Christian evidence and so forth. No, here, this grumbling and disputing has to do with arguing and disputing about matters which cause disunity within the church. Don't grumble and dispute about the music program. Don't grumble and dispute about the schedule of services. Don't grumble and dispute about the leadership. Why not? What's our first doctrinal point? Grumbling and disputing affect your status as a child of God. Notice I did not say your standing as a child of God. When you become a Christian, you are in the family of God. You have life in the family of God. You are in Christ. That's your standing. That's your position. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to you. God sees you righteous in Christ, regardless of your grumbling and disputing. But your status as a child of God is affected by your grumbling and disputing. Verse 15 indicates you are not blameless when you grumble and dispute. You are not harmless or innocent when you grumble and dispute. You are not without fault when you grumble or dispute. When we grumble and complain and argue and dispute, causing disunity in the fellowship, it is wrong, and it affects our status as God's children. We are not good children. We're bad children. But you say, what do you do if there are problems in the fellowship that need to be worked out? That's exactly what you do. Work it out without grumbling and without disputing, without pushing your weight around by arguing and disputing. You can work it out in love. In verse 16, Paul says that he wants to rejoice in the day of Christ and know that he has not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul is referring here to the judgment seat of Christ, where his life as a believer will be reviewed. You know, all believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. At that time, when our lives are reviewed and the rewards are given out, then we'll be sorry about our grumbling and disputing in this life. Grumbling and disputing affect the status of a child of God. Doctrinal point number 2, grumbling and disputing affect the testimony of the church of God. Grumbling and disputing affect the testimony of the church of God. Verse 14, once again, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. What do you think the world thinks when they hear Christians grumbling and disputing? What do you think the world thinks when they see churches split? And that they hear the reason is because they couldn't get along together. They're always grumbling and disputing. Hardly is this an effective testimony for the Lord. You know, recently I was doing a seminar in Portland, Oregon. I read in a paper there of a church in Central Oregon where the police had to be brought in to quell a disturbance. Can you believe it? It seems that at a church business meeting, the grumbling and disputing got out of hand. And it reached a point where some of the people even came to blows, if you will. I don't know whether they hit one another or whatever, but it seems that they did come to blows. And I remember seeing a picture in the paper of this 70-year-old man, would you believe it, being escorted out by a police officer. Well, this was not exactly shining as lights in the world. This is an extreme case, of course, But many churches do not have an effective testimony in their community because of the grumbling and disputing that go on in the church. How is it in this church? Is it possible that grumbling and disputing has affected the testimony of this church in the community? You know, it's great to hear a little while ago that through the testimony of this church, at least indirectly, Yasser Arafat has received a copy of Josh McDowell's More Than a Carpenter. Now that is shining as lights in this world. That is being effective witnesses in this crooked, notice verse 15, in this crooked and perverse generation. Notice that's our mission there in verses 15 and 16, that we would be without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now, a case could be built that verse 16 should be translated holding fast the word of life, but I think in the context, the idea is holding forth the word of life. That's our mission. We are to shine as lights in this world. There's a crooked and perverse generation out there. We're to shine as lights in this world and hold forth the word of life. That's our mission. This world needs to see the light and hear the word. How are we doing? Grumbling and disputing affect the testimony of the church of God. Well, what about practical application from these three verses? Let's not turn out the lights. Let's not turn out the lights. The expression turn out the lights has come to mean it's over. The end has come. It comes from the song, Turn Out the Lights, the party's over. And if you watch Monday Night Football, you've heard that expression used near the end of the game when the losing team has no chance of winning. Turn out the lights. May that never be said of your personal testimony or the testimony of this church. Let's not turn out the lights. Matthew 5:16 says that we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Our mission is to shine as lights in this world and hold forth the word of life. If we turn out the lights, we have failed in our mission. You know, not too long ago, I was speaking with some folks from Southern California. They told me of several evangelical churches there that had closed down because the Christians there could not resolve their differences. There was a lot of grumbling and disputing going on. The lights had gone out. In fact, one church had literally put a padlock on the door. How would you like to put a permanent padlock on the door of your church? What a sad experience that would be. As individuals and together as the body of Christ, let's shine as lights in this dark world. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation all around us, let's hold forth the word of life. Let's not turn out the lights.